This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you're in our audience. I trust the program encourages you and challenges you and blesses you. If you'd like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. My website has this program on it, as well as a weekly meditation and other information that you might find helpful. You'll find an email address that you could use to contact me if you'd like to make comments or leave me with prayer requests, and you can do that by using my postal address as well. That'll be given to you at the close of the program. So you might want to get a pencil out so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now today, as we go through our journey through the Bible, we've come to the book of Haggai, a little two-chapter book, a prophecy that has to be considered in connection with the books that we've looked at that were historical books called Ezra and Nehemiah. And actually, Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, and then the next prophecy called Zechariah must be considered together. They were Ezra and Nehemiah had to do with the revival, the restoration of some of the Israelites back into the land. And Ezra, under Ezra's day, they were rebuilding the temple. In Nehemiah's day, they were rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem. And then when we look at Haggai and Zechariah, they were prophets that encouraged this work, this revival that was taking place in the land of Israel. And we read that as a post-captivity prophet, Haggai referred our return to the land of Israel when Zerubbabel led the first group back from Babylon. His ministry was to encourage the people to rebuild the temple. In Ezra 5 and verse 1, going back now to the historical book, we read, "Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them." So they were prophets at that time. And particularly with regard to Haggai, the temple had been started, and then the work on the temple had been stopped, and Haggai came along to encourage the people to get back at the work because it was important to the Lord. And so there are some key expressions that you'll find in Haggai, but the one that I'm particularly interested in is the expression that says, "Consider your ways." I think that it would be possible for us to take that expression to heart today, consider your ways. I know that when we look at the book of Haggai, we're going to find out that God had been withholding national blessing because they had not put him first. And there is a verse in the Bible that I find has always been helpful to me. It's Matthew 6 and verse 33, which says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you." Well, I know that we don't preach the prosperity gospel here. We don't tell you that once you get saved, the wind is always going to be at your back and the road is going to be downhill and your bank account is always going to be full. We don't preach that because we know it's not true. But yet at the same time, when it comes to the work of the Lord, the preaching of the gospel and seeing people saved and discipleized and seeing people really added to the church, sometimes there's a poverty associated with that simply because we are not exercised about putting the Lord first. We're not concerned with it. We don't consider our own ways. And I've often said, even with regard to this current pandemic that's taking place, that we ought to ask ourselves as Christians, is the Lord trying to use this pandemic to speak to us? Because the church has become very shallow and academic, and it has moved away from simple spirit-led gospel preaching to entertainment and a social group. And I sometimes wonder if we really understand that people are dying around us every day, particularly in this pandemic, and that they are people that God has created and that God loved, and have we prayed about how we can reach them with the gospel for eternity? So is there a sense in which this pandemic today is designed to make us consider our ways? Now, we've just gone through Memorial Day weekend, and we've been reminded of people who have died both in war and loved ones. And we have to, we give them honor, and we should give them honor. But at the same time, as we look at these gravestones and the decorations that we put on them, we are reminded that it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. We are eternal beings. And this pandemic and Memorial Day weekend should make us realize that there is, that we are all terminal. And we should consider the fact that we need to be ready to meet our God. Now, apart from the rapture, the catching away of the church, we're all going to die. And we're glad for those that we can honor because they have died, led a worthy life before they died, whether they were young or whether they were older. Fact of the matter is, right now we've got people on the front lines in the medical profession, and some of them in the first responder, as first responders and emergency personnel, and people that are working even in the food industry, who have put themselves on the line for the sake of others that we might live. But some of them have caught this virus and they've died. And we need to recognize that right now people are concerned with death as it's associated with the pandemic. And maybe as the church, it will revive us to realize that we've got a message that is the solution to our relationship with God. It's a solution for the sin problem. And while it won't necessarily make us rich, if we would preach it at a time when people are receptive to it, maybe there would be blessing in the spiritual sense in our land. So when we look at Haggai chapter 1 and verse 4, the Haggai says, "Is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And that's what we need to do. The pandemic should make us consider our ways. We shouldn't just be self-centered as we consider our ways. And I'm talking now to Christians. We should be considering our ways with regard to whether we are putting God first in the things that interest him. Are we building the church? Now, I know that in Haggai's day, they were building a temple. But are we building the church? That's a spiritual house, not necessarily a physical house. But are we interested in building the church and doing it because it will glorify God? Are we energetic about what we are doing? In Haggai's day, they had started building the temple, and then they had quit. And Haggai needed to come along and really admonish them to consider what they were doing. And he says that because they hadn't put the Lord first nationally now, he says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." And so, because they hadn't put the Lord first, they were suffering. And we aren't looking at this in a physical way. We've always said that the Old Testament is a physical people with physical land, with a physical land and physical promises, or earthly people with an earthly land and earthly promises, however you want to say that. Whereas we are a spiritual people with a spiritual land and spiritual promises. So we would make a spiritual application, and if we are not willing to consider our ways, maybe the work of the Lord is going to languish, and we're going to find departure from a true, vibrant faith in the Lord, in our families, and in our land. So we want to make sure that we consider our ways, and this pandemic is a good time to take inventory of what is really important when it comes to the things of the Lord. When we come to Haggai chapter 1 and verse 12, then it says, "Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord, their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, 'I am with you, says the Lord.' And so when they considered their ways, then the Lord could say, 'I am with you.'" Now, in prior prophecies we've been reading, particularly in Joel, and I think it was in Zephaniah, we read about the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord was a day of coming judgment. And we know that the children of Israel were being told that they were going to go into captivity. But now they've come back and they've been revived. And if they put the Lord first, they can have this confidence that the Lord is with them. And I believe that if we carry out the great commission of the Lord today to make disciples and to baptize and to teach all things, we can take comfort in the fact that in Matthew 28, the Lord says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." But there's conditions. We have to put the Lord first and make the disciples and baptize them and teach them. And then we can say that the Lord is with us. And if we just lay down on the job, if we come to know the Lord and get saved and then just kind of lay down on the job and wait for the Lord to come, then we're going to miss out on a great revival and great blessing. Because today we need to preach that gospel more clearly than ever before, how that Christ died for our sins, and he was buried and he was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. We need to tell people that this is a faithful saying, as Paul could say, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul says, "Of whom I am chief." And again, God demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let's preach that message, and let's tell people that they can have a right relationship with God, they can have their sins forgiven, and when they die, they can know for sure that they're going to go to heaven. And then in Haggai chapter 2 and verse 4, again Haggai says, "Yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, for I am with you." Again, we read that, "I am with you." There was resistance to the building of the temple, resistance to the building of the wall. The people that had been populating the land didn't want this, but they needed to first consider their ways. And then if they considered their ways, they could be sure that the Lord would be with them, and when the opposition came, they were supposed to be strong. And that's the message to those of us who are saved today, and to those of you who are not saved. You need to be concerned about your ways, and you need, even today, to come to a point where you agree with God about your sin and turn to the Lord for salvation so that you can be ready for whatever the future holds. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless all who have listened. We pray that you'll guide our leaders during this pandemic, preserve our listeners from the disease, bless those serving at their own peril at this time. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com, bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.